podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Manpacks, manly goods on a schedule. Get started today and have underwear, socks, toiletries, shaving supplies, and more delivered to your door. Visit manpacks.com/twit and get $10 off your first order of $30 or more, or buy a $50 gift card for $40. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 116, recorded Tuesday, July 2nd, 2013. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Gina Trapani.
And I'm Chad Johnson.
Yeah, Chad Johnson joining us because, wow, did I drop the ball leading up to today's show. Ron sent us a very thorough, awesome email last week saying when he was and was not going to be on the show, and I apparently only read part of it or something. I'm not sure what I did, but I teased last week that we were going to have Ron on this week, and it was only about 5 minutes before showtime where I realized, oh, wait a minute, Ron's not going to be on. Wow. Sorry about that.
He's got that non-Twit day job with all those responsibilities.
I know.
Like me, who's just kind of around all the time.
Just call me up on Skype. It's cool. I'm here. Yeah, it's
I'll
all right.
Be here.
But we're super stoked. Chad is hopping on a little bit extra
thanks.
Today. Appreciate it. It's good to have you along. You're going to be bringing an app. We actually have an all games arena, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we have that to look forward to. Also, the official Moto X news, or at least a little bit of finally official Moto X news, has hit today. The return of the Nexus Q. You probably never thought you were going to hear that. 4.3 details of Android 4.3 and so much more. But before we get into that, I think we should probably wish Google Plus a happy birthday. Celebrated a birthday last week.
Birthday party for Google Plus and a funeral for Google Reader, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Because Google Reader kind of officially went, like started going dark for people last night or this morning, somewhere around then, right?
Yep, last night and this morning. I can't believe that Google Plus is 2 years old.
Like, yeah, me too.
Time flies.
Yeah, it's really, Google Plus is very interesting to me. It, just in the sense of like follower count versus interaction. I love Google Plus, and I definitely use it more than I use Twitter these days. Part of that has to be the fact that it's integrated so tightly into Android, and they really encourage you to kind of work within their garden, and it's a lot of fun. I do find it interesting that my follower count, and Gina, I know your follower count is like crazy. You have so many followers on Google Plus, but my follower count is double what it is on Twitter. Yet sometimes if I post anything that isn't Android related, interaction or like any sort of input from all of those people, you have to imagine like 35,000 people, that's a lot of people, is like nothing. How is it for you?
Yeah, I find the same thing. It's an incredible platform for folks who are, you know, who like to talk about Google and who are Google enthusiasts and Android enthusiasts. And the reason why I hit 1 million followers on Google Plus very quickly, and it's all because of This Week in Google, the show that I do on Wednesdays here on Twit. This was before I started All About Android. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of folks who are really, you know, who love Google, who are carrying Android phones, and Google Plus is really well, you know, integrated there, and who are using YouTube and sharing videos. And so it's a really good place to kind of talk about Google-related issues. And I think the communities are great. The All About Android community is so robust, and there's so much going on there. I should spend more time there. I'm almost a little overwhelmed with Google Plus because I'm like, I have to think of a good title, and I should have a really good, you know, photo to upload with my post. And,
totally.
You know, and then I think, well, I could just do a blog post. But it's true. The interaction is very high if you're talking about particularly sort of development and Google-related topics. Very high, and Android as well.
Mm-hmm.
A great place to fish for arena picks.
Very
well,
true.
As you figured out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Actually, that is one great way to use the community, the All About Android community. A lot of people post different apps and everything there. And so when I'm kind of hard up for a pick, I just kind of go there and scroll through, and I almost always find something pretty cool in there. So
true. We get a lot of spam there as well. Did you notice that?
What's that?
We get a lot of spam. We get a lot of spam there as well. Like folks like spamming for us to check out their app, which is interesting.
But what's very interesting about that too is that like anybody visiting the page doesn't see that, right? Only we do as admins.
Only we see it because we're moderators.
Because we're mods, which makes it kind of hard to comb through. If I just want to, just in a very relaxed sort of way, go there and interact with people that have posted there. It's like half of it is spam and stuff. But they do a really good job of kind of blocking would-be spam. So I guess that's a
plus. They do, and in comments as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. I notice in comments. If you get long comment threads, do you notice that some are hidden because they're spammy, mm-hmm. which is nice. But yeah, I think 2 years ago today, I think Up told me that I tweeted something like, now Twitter feels like an abacus, because Google Plus had just launched and had all these different features. Mm-hmm. And, it's interesting. I was like, oh, that makes sense that was sort of my initial impression. But sometimes it feels a little overwhelming, but it's a really great place for our community in particular.
Yeah, the big challenge right now is obviously like as it stays so tightly integrated with Android, and as Android continues to just dominate in number of devices around the world, we keep hearing this. If Google Plus moves out of kind of that, like we're talking, like the things that do well are Googly related things. That's not necessarily something that the wide majority of people that have these devices care about as much, or at least care about talking on a daily basis about. It'll be interesting to see if Google Plus is able to kind of move out of that and kind of broaden their appeal a little bit more.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
So happy birthday, Google Plus. Love what you're doing, and hope that you continue to do that. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get to the news.
So tomorrow, when you pick up your copy of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, or USA Today, you are going to see a full-page ad for the Moto X. But don't get too excited. There's no phone. There's no picture of a phone in this ad. It's a picture of a young lady and a young man jumping off of a pier. They're so free. It's Motorola's brand new logo. It's shadow showing on the screen right now. It's a lowercase Motorola in this kind of googly font, and it's got the googly Technicolor ring around the old M, which is quite a difference, I think, from their old logo. But kept a little bit of their old logo. And the tagline is, or the sell for the Moto X is that this is the first smartphone designed and engineered and assembled in the USA. So they're taking the sort of patriotic route, right? Because Thursday is July 4th here in Independence Day here in the United States. So they're taking the patriotic angle, saying that this is the first phone assembled here in the United States, and also calling it the first smartphone that you can design yourself, because you should have the freedom to design the things in your life to be as unique as you are. So freedom kind of dovetails into the patriotism. Mm-hmm. And interesting design. So the tagline is designed by you, assembled in the U.S. So we don't really know what designed by you means. And I've been sort of thinking about a few theories. I'd like to hear what you think this means. I mean, this is interesting, that Motorola's VP Global Brand told Ad Age that smartphones are very, very personal. They're closer to you. They're like shoes or a watch. You carry it everywhere you go. People see them and they judge you on it. You should be able to be it's the thing that's least customizable. So meaning that you should be able to customize it, which is interesting. Nice play kind of particularly against the iPhone, right, which is less customizable than Android, kind of capitalizing on the Android's customizability. So I don't really know what designed by you means.
There's
a couple of interesting possibilities, though. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jason?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I think of, aside from the fact that, Motorola is now a Google company, obviously, is that glass kind of allows you to do this, right? They give you the choice of colors. So designed by you could be as simple as which color do you want, right? And the entire mm-hmm. body of the device, you're able to buy this device and it has many different colors. Obviously, people would probably be a little bit disappointed if this was the tease and that ended up being the end game. Or maybe they wouldn't. Maybe that's enough for people. I don't know. Think if you extend it a little bit further and think designed by you and think, oh, well, that means I can choose between 4.3-inch screen and a 6-inch screen and blah, blah, blah. Then it gets really interesting. But I don't buy that. That seems just overly complicated from an on-demand perspective. But who knows? Maybe they, you know, have, you know, this is the Moto X phone. It comes in these kind of, you know, different kind of housings or whatever, different sizes, and you can pick between the three or four sizes. I don't know. Like, customization, it's so open. You get nothing here other than customization, and that could mean a million things. What do you think, Gina?
I think customization on the hardware side is kind of hard to do,
yeah.
Like you said, for all the reasons that you said. And what are folks going to do? Like, pick size and pick color? I went the software angle. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to offer a selection of skins or perhaps launchers. That would make me really happy. Like you can say, oh, like, I want the very social phone, or I want the photography centered phone, or I want the explorer phone for people who like to travel a lot, you know, like maybe that you can choose a type of the thing that you use your phone for the most, and then, you know, choose a new skin or a new launcher, or maybe we'll have specialized widgets. I don't know. And then maybe you can customize kind of from there.
But
it seems like the customization possibilities are much greater on the software side than on the hardware side.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that's part of it. I don't think that's all of it. Cause I mean, he even says, Brian Wallace even says, everyone sees what phone you're carrying and they judge you on it.
Yeah.
People don't see your phone and see your launcher and judge you on your launcher. Well, okay. Maybe the Android faithful does, because they know to look for it. But if it's a style thing and it's, you know, you're judged on this the way you're judged on your shoes and everything, then it becomes a little bit more kind of cosmetic, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. Oh, you're right. That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe I think you're right, though. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. So, I mean, but how much could they possibly customize? I mean, let's face it. Most of these phones are just black slabs of glass, right?
Maybe you can choose
a pattern on the back or a logo.
What if they bring 3D printing into the game so that you can 3D print some sort of raised design on the back of your phone?
Well, okay, so if they do that, how wide does that spread? Are you talking about like individuals 3D print their own thing?
No, nobody
has a 3D printer, but or you go into Verizon, you choose your phone,
right.
And you're like, I want that printed on it, or kind of like etching or something.
Right. So maybe there's like some sort of web portal where you can make your own design,
right.
And then you can send that and it ships to you with that printed on the back. I mean, we saw something similar to this at CES, and it was a phone case. So you could buy a phone case that would be 3D printed specifically for you, so you could upload your own design if you wanted.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's a big difference manufacturing-wise between a case and a phone, though. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, you know, that's...
But that's kind of what I was getting at, is like, it'd just be a skin. It wouldn't actually be metal. It would be the 3D... I mean, I assume a 3D printed sort of material.
Right. And even on like, you know, different phones already, you can remove, you know, parts of it and replace it with an entirely new case that's the same but in a different color or whatever. So how is this different than that? Not that much.
Maybe it's just the back, you know? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm...
Just design the back, you know, like, right, print the back, yeah. Right? And so when you put the back on, you got a different pattern.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah, but...
So if you're a biker, you get skulls.
Enough?
And if you're a person who likes Hello Kitty, you get Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I mean... Or if you're a biker that likes Hello Kitty, you get Hello Kitty with skulls.
Welcome back to the 90s where you could put a thing on your phone. You remember those things you get at the ball?
The little dangly things.
Yeah.
That if Nook was still around, you'd just attach it to there. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, obviously, we're totally speculating here. We have little to nothing to go on, but it's at least something that they're starting to give you hints. And I think it's safe to say, because I know Leo said it on a few shows previously, but Guy Kawasaki, who is now with Motorola, you know, has invited Leo out there in a week or two, I think.
I think it's next week, the 10th, right after Twig, which is killing me.
To take a look at some interesting stuff. I'm just saying, it's got to be this. So we'll probably hear something very soon about this. I mean, it sounds like we're right on the cusp of the bigger announcement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if they're running this ad tomorrow, it sounds like we've got to see this phone in the next week or so. And I would bet that Leo's going to see it at that event.
Oh, man. I want to be there. I want to see it.
Other Moto X news. The Moto X will not be a Droid on Verizon. Previous Motorola flagship phones, like the Droid Razr HD and the Droid Razr Max, they've all been Verizon exclusives in the United States, but that will not be the case with Moto X. But the Droid relationship will carry on. It looks like Motorola will be building a new line of Droid Ultra phones, which will be branded and sold separately from the Moto X. So Moto X is not a Droid. Completely different. Completely different lines.
Right. It'll probably still be on, or at least we hope it'll still be on Verizon, but just not a Droid. But
right, okay. not exclusively on Verizon. It sounds like the carrier support is going to go
good.
It's going to be beyond Verizon, which is great. Yeah. I just ordered my HTC One, so I this is killing me. If the Moto X comes out,
I know, right?
It's going to just kill me. You're like gambling, playing chicken.
You're like, but I want the Moto X that you can design with your own special kind of bling. I want that.
Yeah. I want sparkly rainbows in the back of my Moto X.
Well, maybe you can find a case for the One. I'm sure they have those. So sparkly rainbows can come to your device too. So there's a lot of speculation in today's show. I'm just giving you a warning up front, but it's a lot of fun to talk about. People familiar with the matter, I'm sure you've heard of those people before, told the Wall Street Journal that Google is currently developing a few interesting things. A video game console, similar to the Ouya that we talked about many times on the show before, and reportedly in response to expectations that Apple is going to come out with their own game console tied to the Apple TV sometime soon. I would doubt that that would be the only reason that they would do this. I mean, they're about all around Android dominance right now in all sectors pretty much, so I'm sure that's part of it too, but that's what the source said. A wristwatch that connects to your smartphone via Bluetooth. Not that groundbreaking, not too hard to kind of conceive that they might be thinking about something like that, especially considering their wearable experience with glass. The next, Nexus Q. I did not expect to read that. I don't know if that means that I don't know what that means. Does that mean that they're sticking with, you know, only playing music and movies through Play? Because that the source does say that that's one of the goals of this device, but that it's going to be much less expensive. It would have to be. I would really hope that it would contain wider support for other things, though, if that's the case.
They should put the Nexus Q to bed. They should not
flirt with it.
The Nexus Q. They should just pony up and make it a Google TV. Although I don't know, one could argue the Google TV has been such a failure that they should put that brand to bed as well and just call it something completely different.
Right, Android TV. All right,
Android TV. Right, exactly.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Play TV. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe no one beyond our community has really heard of the Nexus Q. I mean, we have because we follow these things, but it was never actually a consumer product.
No, so. Totally. Yeah. And honestly, you know, the form factor was interesting if they stuck with that, because that was definitely one of the kind of hits from that release. From that non-release, if they stuck with the form factor, kind of brought the price down somehow, and you know, broaden its capability, maybe they're onto something. I mean, that's kind of what we were saying they needed to do when the Nexus Q failed. Oh, just come back and you know, do all these things. That's kind of what it sounds like they might be doing. And as well, the next Android release, known internally as K release, will hit this fall, tailored to integration with a wider array of devices such as wearables, laptops, appliances, also better performance and compatibility with lower spec devices. So a little bit of interesting information there coming from the Wall Street Journal. It tends to lend a little bit more credibility than you know, you might normally give just a random rumor out there, but it's a lot of juicy nuggets here.
Yeah. There are. Although the people familiar with the matter weren't familiar enough to confirm whether or not the K release is actually going to be called Key Lime Pie.
I know, calling it K release.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like maybe the game console should be the new Nexus Q. I mean, Google just needs to make a device that you connect to your TV that you're going to buy stuff from them, right? Like they want you to buy a device that you're going to buy stuff from the Play Store, whether that's movies and TV or games. And it would be just nice if they could just make a set-top box that's compelling enough. And I think the thing that's going to make it compelling enough is that it's compatible with things like, I don't know, maybe even Amazon Media or ABC.com or streaming, you know, Hulu and all those other, you know, all those other sort of video sources. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Maybe the game console has to be specialized enough and have a great controller and appeal to the gamer set. So maybe it does have to be separate items. But the interesting thing about this K release, that it's going to be tailored for integration with other devices. I'm imagining like right now with Google Glass, which tethers to your phone via Bluetooth, which is purportedly what this new wristwatch is going to do. You have to run that My Glass app in order for your phone to detect that the device is there and for you to configure it. And it seems like the K release or Key Lime Pie will maybe have that layer built into Android, right? So it won't be a separate app. So it can say, oh, hey, you know, where are the wearables, you know, that should link to this phone? Oh, there's your watch. Oh, there's your glass. Cool.
I think you're
and
dead
you'll be able
on.
To manage it. Yeah, you'll be I think you're dead on. Having us all a different app.
That makes perfect sense, and I can already kind of visualize the settings pane for, you know, that kind of category of things and glass being built in there and not having to run the separate app. I think you're totally right there. That's cool. And it's just kind of interesting. I mean, it totally plays to the fact that, you know, if this is to be believed, that Google really envisions Android to not just be a smartphone and tablet operating system. It's the operating system for whatever you really want it to be. They're opening it up more and more and removing some of the restrictions they've had in the past, you know, as far as like, you know, requiring Play Store access for official things. Well, you can't, you know, why would you need to require that on something like a refrigerator? This kind of shows that they're thinking about those other directions, and curious to see where Android ends up.
But if you're you're scared seeing this news?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
See when Google came out with Drive, I was thinking, oh man, a Dropbox must be scared. Dropbox has done all right. So
Dropbox has done well. Yeah,
it's possible to compete, but I mean, they're different levels, obviously. Dropbox. Right.
Well, also Google
has built a long reputation for themselves, and
Google doesn't have a history of coming out with a product and then owning the whole product line. They come out with a product, and then other people can build on top of it. Same thing with Google TV. So if they did something like this, I bet that actually Ouya may be excited that now they're a competitor to this product, and hopefully game developers will build in control support to absolutely everything, that Ouya can now transition to something more mainstream than the thing that people could also develop for.
That's a really good point. I mean, the Nexus devices aren't necessarily always competitors to other phones. They're the basis, they're kind of the baseline kind of model for other phones. So that ends up potentially being the case here as well. It's a really good point, Chad.
Yeah, that is a good point. And it'd be nice to see more games. It might mean more games in the Ouya store. I don't know what the Ouya store is called, but Ouya has its own market for games, right?
Yes.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So if the Ouya is running the latest version of Android that has sort of standards or APIs for game controllers, I think it's running a little bit of an older version of Android right now, maybe 4.1. But if it was able to upgrade for that, I mean, a game developer could make a game and submit it to both the Ouya store and the Play Store, and that's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, the big reason that they have their own app store is because things like controller support are not really built into apps in general. So, I mean, truly, that's if they came out with a game platform, if Google came out with a game platform, that would be the most exciting thing, is that apps would be built in with controller support, so that maybe even if I don't buy this console, I could get a controller and play a easy controller game on my phone or my tablet or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. That'd be cool. And then Glass got an update, right, Gina?
Yeah, speaking of Glass, Glass updated to XE7, which was a pretty big update. And in fact, my Glass is sitting behind me and it was downloading the update right as the show was starting. So I haven't actually had a chance to try this myself, but we've got a few more hands-free items in different places for if you receive an email, you can say, okay, Glass, reply. Someone's calling you, you can say, okay, Glass, answer call, instead of having to tap the touchpad, so you get more voice commands. Right. All Gmail My Contacts are now accessible, not just the 9 you preselected before you had to just, you know, select a few contacts to get access to on Glass.
Yeah, so much better.
This is the big one for me that I'm really interested in taking a look at in practice. Full browser for search results. So,
yeah.
So right now on Glass, if you do a search, you get kind of this like Google Now card kind of interface, where it's just a list of the links. You don't actually see the web page, right? But this is actually going to give you a full browser, touchpad single and 2-finger gestures for navigation. So you can play back YouTube videos from a page on Glass, for example. So if you want to scroll on the page, you slide your finger forward on the touchpad to scroll down. You can zoom, so you slide 2 fingers forward or backward to zoom in on a page. This is the part that I'm going to try out, and I'll report back next week. What's that like? Can you actually read? Is an entire web page, you know, legible on the Glass screen? And that screenshot right there, you can see you do kind of have to zoom in on certain areas to really see. And then you can click Links Work. So as you look around, you can tap to select anything in the center of the screen to navigate the web. So full web browser in Glass, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, and it sounds, yes, I for As you, I've been waiting for the update, and it hasn't actually hit my glass yet. I brought it to work today in the hopes that it would, so I could play around with it a little bit, but it hasn't yet. But as with you, I'm really curious to know how the control of this sounds. But from what I've read online from people that have this, they say it actually works better than you would expect that it did. I'm just very curious to play around with it and see how intuitive it is.
So. I feel like this will be good for quick lookups. Like, there are times when I just want to quickly look something up on my phone, and my phone is great. There are other times when I go to look up something on my phone, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just bookmark this for when I'm at a big screen, because I want to spend a little more time reading, or I want to, write something longer or whatever. So, but I don't know. We'll see. I'll try it out or report back. We'll both try it out, because I'm sure you're going to get it soon. If I just got mine, you'll get the update as well. It's XE7 is the update.
XE7. If I had rooted it, I would have installed it, but I don't think I'm going to root my glass. I think I'm going to just let things happen on the glass. I don't use it every single day like I do my phone, so I can wait for those things. But very cool, and they keep rolling out these updates every month. They're very active in this, so that's exciting. It just means more cool stuff coming to glass. So we have an email. Wayne in Morning writes, although I have never used Google Reader, I do use Google Listen. Remember that, the podcast app? Even after they took it off the Play Store, I stayed committed to Listen. Unfortunately, with the closing of Reader, it means that Listen is permanently broken because it uses Reader to sync my podcast subscriptions. I loved Listen's extremely simple UI. I'm in the process of trying out other podcast players, but so far they all suck. Please announce to all the developers listening to All About Android to stop with all the bells and whistles and make a simple audio podcast player just like my dearly departed Listen. So Wayne, you were sticking to it with Listen, weren't you? Man, that's dedication. But you're right, it was totally tied into Reader. And man, I don't know what to tell you as far as that is concerned. But and Gina, I think you put the note in here of Pocket Cast. I feel like we mentioned Pocket Cast so much on the show, but of the podcast apps that I've used, it's probably the most simple app that there is, and it's just good to look at as well. But it's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. I used to be a big Dog Catcher fan, and after a while I just realized, like, Dog Catcher can do so many things, and the layout is so bulky, and there's so much that it can do, but I just don't need to do most of that stuff, really.
It's
the
bells and whistles app. Yeah,
it's totally it's the quintessential bells and whistles app, Dog Catcher. Pocket Cast seems to be on the other side, where it's just kind of like, here's a bunch of shows you want to subscribe, okay, Listen, there you go. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, Wayne, you got it. It's time to let go of Google Listen. It's okay. Pocket Cast is really awesome. The great thing that it does, it doesn't just sync your subscriptions. It syncs your what episodes you've listened to, what point at which you paused across devices. It's really well designed. It's not dependent on Reader, as you said. You definitely want Pocket Cast. Mm-hmm. Absolutely worth every cent.
Yep. Abstitutely. So there we go. Hope that helps, Wayne. Hope you hadn't already stumbled upon that and played with it and been like, this is too complicated. But I'm pretty sure you're going to like Pocket Cast. It's well worth it. All right, let's jump into hardware. So let me see here. 4.3. I changed around the order of things to make up for the fact that Ron wasn't going to be here. But actually, Gina, you need to talk about your stuff before we talk about my stuff, because they're kind of related. So, no, Gina, Google Edition, eh?
The Samsung Galaxy S4 Google Edition and the HTC One Google Edition are in the Play Store, friends. You can order them right now. The GS4 is $649. The HTC One is $599. That's the one I bought. I pulled the trigger. Both of these are running the latest version of Android 4.2. No skins and add-ons. Updates are going to come through Google itself. We'll talk about that in a moment. These phones are only available to United States residents, and you can order now. And as I was sad to find out, they won't ship until July 9th. So that's next Tuesday. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my HTC One. Very, very excited about it. Tons of reviews out there comparing the stock edition versus the manufacturer skins. There are some very slight differences. Some better on the stock, some better on the Google edition. I'm very, very excited to get my HTC One running stock Android. So you can order that up in the Play Store right now. And there were some there was some controversy about whether or not the Android updates, Google Edition Android updates, were going to be come direct from Google, because some crafty journalists had pulled apart the kernels and figured out that the HTC and Samsung had built the kernels, and so that would be involved in updates. The droidlife.com went to Google and said, what is going on? Are you sending the updates or not? And Google said to them, quote, on background, we will be working very closely with Samsung and HTC on future software updates for these devices, the Google Edition devices, and they will receive software updates shortly after a new version is released. I mean, you don't know what shortly means, but it seems like one of the things that Google is selling on these devices is quick updates, right? I mean, these are phones for the Android faithful, people who want the new version of Android. They're spending the extra money for an unlock phone to get updates. So I'm hoping that I'm going to interpret shortly, very optimistically interpret shortly, because this is how I want it to be. As shortly, I hope that's going to be within a couple of weeks. So we cleared that up, and I'm excited. I'll have my HTC One soon, and I think you all have you've had the one in studio, so it's not going to be any new information for you all, but I'm excited to be rocking the Google Edition.
Wait a minute, we have one here in studio.
Not the vanilla version, but the HTC version.
Yeah. Although I will say, just kind of somewhat related here, I was talking with Leo earlier, and he did revert his HTC One to vanilla to see what he thought. And I guess soon after, he went back to the Sense version. So
he really liked the Zoes. He really loved the camera stuff.
Yeah.
There
have been some kind of side-by-side comparisons of pictures taken with the Sense version and with the Google Edition version. And there's definitely a little bit of a difference there. They're definitely obviously, HTC is doing some software kind of enhancements to the pictures that you get through Sense that you don't get through the Google Edition version. So, but did the pictures look bad on the Google Edition version? I didn't think so. They just looked a little different, maybe a little bit less contrast.
Right.
In my quick looking at it, maybe there was more there. My eyes just didn't see it, but
Gizmodo did a side-by-side comparison, and the pictures look pretty different, and they actually went back to Google, and Google said, there's something wrong with your device. Those shouldn't look that
way.
Really? We've run extensive tests. Yeah, we've run extensive tests, and our engineers have, done everything we can to make take advantage of the hardware. So they said that they were going to send them another one. They'd update it. So it's interesting. I'm okay with subtle differences in audio and cameras, as long as it's subtle. Like, I'm cool with that. I don't think that one addition or the other is canonically better. And I think for someone who, just really, really like stock Android and seeing where Google goes with it, I still think it's worth it, even though Leo doesn't agree. But I'm excited.
Excellent.
And optimistic.
Yeah. Yes. I can't wait to hear what you think of it once you finally get it. And I'm sure you're just chomping at the bit, because your Galaxy Nexus is toast right now.
Working but toast. Slightly cracked.
Just a little bit. Oh, that just pains me to see that. So what I was going to lead with, but I needed the Google Edition stuff first, is that an interesting kind of thing happened. I'm not sure if it was all Samsung Galaxy S4s Google Editions that had 4.3, or if it was certain ones, but some had surfaced with 4.3. I think it was all of them, though. I don't know why it would be just some of them. With 4.3 installed. Kind of weird that 4.3 would show up on A, completely like unheralded, like, oh, and by the way, it's under there, under the hood, and somebody had to discover it. But B, that it would show up on a Google Edition and not on a Nexus first. So there's a little bit of some weirdness there. But the fine folks all around the internets have, now leaked that ROM around. And if you have certain variants of the S4, you can install it. I think the international versions can install it. And some of the things they found, first of all, a new camera app, which can also be found in the HTC One. And you can actually download and install that if you want. I actually have it on my phone, so I can show it off in a second. Bluetooth low energy support, finally. A lot of people have been asking for that. It saves on battery. Some interesting Wi-Fi scanning. So this has to do, from what I understand, with the location services that we heard about a lot at I/O. And essentially what it is even if you have your Wi-Fi turned off, Google can still track your location based on Wi-Fi pings. And essentially, I think what they're doing is they're pulling they're creating their map of SSID locations, right? So when they notice that you're in some place and an SSID location is mapped there, they can ping that to know what your location is, as opposed to requiring you to turn on your GPS antenna and get your location that way. So it's an effort to kind of get the benefits of that location data, that location information, while saving battery, because GPS is a battery hog. So that's kind of interesting. Roboto font tweaks for those that really want to get into the nitty-gritty. And, of course, the Sunbeam live wallpaper that you see on the home screen of both of the devices. There's also, I have a few more things here, hints at notification changes. And this is really interesting. New notification API could be coming, allowing developers of apps like Lightflow, which Ron has featured in the arena, that deals with syncing notifications to your notification light, that depend on notification access, something that they currently actually have to hack at the moment in a roundabout sort of way. I think they tap into the accessibility API, which they could use that to make their services more effective, their apps more effective. Google actually contacted the developer of Lightflow and said of 4.3, foreground apps will be required to have a status bar icon. So it's another kind of hint around this. So there's something around notifications kind of coming with 4.3. What confuses me is we're hearing and reading this stuff. Is that not the case with the current 4.3 that's on these devices? It's like there's 4.3, and if you go into about this phone, it says 4.3, but it's like half 4.3. It's like, I don't know. It's right. Very confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
In that regard.
I have to tell you, not to derail from the discussion of what's actually in 4.3, but the thing that I learned from that video, which didn't really show you very much, except that if you go into settings about phone, it says 4.3.
Right.
But if you triple tap on the Android version, it like pops up this like cartoon like jelly bean.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea. Did you know about this?
Yes.
I had no idea. Yes, you do.
I know. You flick around.
There you go.
Click and hold on the jelly bean, too.
Yep. And then it turns into many little jelly beans.
Oh, many little jelly beans.
And then you can kick them around with your finger.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, see?
I had no idea.
There you go.
Okay, well, that's clearly old news. let's talk about actual 4.3 news.
Oh, hilarious. Hey, I don't know if we've ever mentioned it on the show, so there you go, folks. A fun little free jelly bean game.
Game. Who knew? It's like discovering the Excel Easter egg, like 12 years later. Like, oh, I can fly over the surface of the moon.
Totally. Hey, Easter eggs are fun. No matter when you discover them, knowing that they're there now, it's
very exciting. I'm totally going to impress all my friends with that at the bar. There's not a lot in 4.3 that I was like really particularly excited about. It just seems like a lot of under the hood enhancements.
Yeah,
though I am really excited for the notification sync that they talked about at Google I/O. I'm sick of like dismissing. Yeah. Notifications across all my devices. I've seen the same thing pop up everywhere, but that doesn't seem to be 4.3 specific, right?
I mean, that's a really good question. We don't know because we haven't seen that yet, right? 4.3 is so close, and there's hints to notification stuff right here. Maybe that's part of this. Maybe they've spent a lot of their time with 4.3 kind of enhancing and working with notifications in general, that being one of the things. Speculation on the stuff that I was talking about, since we're still talking about notifications, is that possibly Glass could deal with notifications on its own. Right now, it's synced to the device, so maybe that would enable Glass to kind of do it on its own. Pebble, which hacks the accessibility API, could do notification interaction kind of independent of that hack. Or maybe developers could create, I think this is a really interesting theory, a notification panel replacement app, which when you think about breaking, the whole fragmentation discussion that we were talking about maybe the last couple of weeks, and the fact that Google is breaking out all their apps independently, if notification suddenly becomes another replaceable thing, then that's another layer on your HTC One with Sense that you could strip back if you wanted to and replace with stock notifications, if that ended up being the case. You couldn't do that right now. Maybe this kind of hints at that. So
you couldn't. I mean, there are lots of apps that work inside the notification pane, but not replacing the entire pane.
Right.
That is really interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be cool. And then also totally kind of on the bottom end of the things that have been discovered, app and widget sorting. There's code snippets that hint at dynamic sorting of your apps and widgets based on the frequency of your use. So that could be kind of handy, I guess. I mean, launchers kind of, you know, replacement launchers kind of do this already.
Right. So. I thought you could store your apps by use, or maybe I'm thinking energy use. I'm not thinking about actual use. Although, I mean, for someone who's a big, you know, appaholic who installs a lot of apps, there are times I'm like, I just want to clean up my phone, and I kind of go through and manually go like, I probably haven't used this in a month. I haven't used that in a month. But I mean, I would like to see a list of like, what are the, you know, what are the apps that I haven't touched in 2 weeks, say, mm-hmm. for example,
right.
do a quick, you know, uninstall. I mean, I think that the phone, and they talked about this at Google I.O. a little bit, or Android could be a little bit smarter about, you know, quashing background processes of apps that you almost never run, you know, yeah. that you never like explicitly launch. And Android can, you know, be really smart about that. You
sure.
know, there's no reason why an app should take a battery if you're not launching it on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go, 4.3. And actually, YYZ in the chat room also made another kind of pointed out another thing, notification control from wearable tech. So that was another thing that we were kind of hearing around the notification thing is, you know, Google's really kind of doubling down on the wearable thing with Glass and many other things. And this could be so, for example, on my phone, I have Google Music. And in the notification panel, I have an album that I'm listening to, controlling that from my Glass. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of speculation. Like I said, there's a lot of that in this show today. Maybe not always, but
I want key lime pie yesterday. I better get it fast on my HTC One. That's all I'm saying.
It's not key lime pie. It's K.
Oh, the K release.
K release. They're going to totally bypass the desserts and go right for boring. No, that is the name of it. It's called K release. Okay, and real quick, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but I thought it was worth mentioning. HTC One S was released in April 2012. That's 15 months ago. HTC has confirmed that the phone will stay at 4.1 with Sense 4 Plus, though they promised to update to 4.2 back in February. I don't know. This kind of bummed me out. I went right to Google Plus and complained about it, and then, you know, past guest Phil Nickenson of Android Central kind of called me out on it. He's like, you know, not too long ago, we were extolling the awesomeness of the fact that the services and the breakout apps kind of eliminates the true need to update your OS on a regular basis when these things can kind of step in and kind of do that for you. So I get that. And I get that argument, that side of it. The other side of it, though, is the security aspect, right? Juniper Studio actually did a study last week where they determined that 77% of mobile malware threats could be avoided if users were upgraded to the current version of the OS. And, you know, to have a great device, I mean, the One S, I actually reviewed it for Before You Buy. I loved it. It was a great phone. To have a great device like that gets no support so early in its life cycle, on top of that, HTC supposedly agreeing to be part of the Open Handset Alliance at, you know, Google I.O. to not this year, but last year. I don't know. It just kind of bummed me out a little bit. It was like, really, HTC, you need people to trust you. And this doesn't make that happen. People have distrust when they realize that a relatively reasonably recent phone is pretty much getting abandoned at this point. And there are a lot of reasons why you shouldn't do that. Security being probably at the top of that list.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of a bummer. It's a planned obsolescence. It kind of just feels like a, you know, it's too soon. It's too soon. And yeah, what was the Android, the Open Handset Alliance was every 18 months, right? That update should come up. And this came out 15 months ago.
I thought the OHS said 2 years, but was it 18 months?
I thought it was 18 months, or did they revise it to 2 years?
I don't know. You could be right on that, in which case it's maybe a little bit less of an issue because that's just a few months shy of that.
It's a few months shy. 15 months, that's too short a time. I don't know.
Yeah, especially when you consider the last update, right? That's kind of the time that you're going by, right? If the last update was to 4.1 and that was, I can't remember when 4.1 came. Was that November or all of my months blur together? But let's just say, for example, it was November. I mean, then that would be, you know, less than a year later, and you know, less than a year, and they've stopped support with that last release, if that makes any sense. I don't know. And, you know, Phil also pointed out there are financial reasons for this. Maybe the HTC One S didn't have enough users, and HTC's, you know, hurting and in a bad situation right now financially, and maybe it just doesn't make sense for them to incur the costs of this. That may be the case, and I suppose I understand that to an extent, but it's still just kind of a bummer to promise one thing and pull the rug out from under your users, the users that have actually bought into you. They're not going to trust you next time. Some of them won't care.
He actually creates a market for more expensive phones with a promise, you know, that you're going to get the updates, like the Google Edition phones. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, totally. Once this happens to somebody, they're like, I'm not going to let this happen again. You know, someone who cares about this kind of thing.
Right.
Or notices, yeah.
And it's also a slippery slope to say, well, updates don't matter as much because we have the breakout apps and everything, because then you get to a point to where suddenly device manufacturers don't feel like they ever have to update, right? Because it doesn't matter. You just update the apps and stuff on your own. It's cool. You said it was all right.
It's true. So,
there you go. Anyways, I thought it was worth pointing out.
We've got an email.
Woo!
Email.
Yay!
We got an email from Sam in New Jersey. Sam writes, I recently was working on speeding up my elderly Nexus S, and I wasn't ready to commit to the pain of a factory reset and a reinstall, as mentioned on AAA episode 115. You know, when Jason was like, you know, it's like making my coffee and getting dressed for work and wiping my phone and just, you know,
coffee,
reinstalling
my
it.
Phone. We do that, right? We all do that.
Sam writes, then I remember to try Android safe mode. You can access it by pushing the power button and then long pressing on the restart option. Rebooting into safe mode will disable all the background services from apps you've installed and will only let you access the apps with shortcuts on your desktop, on your home screen, I guess. The apps in the launcher are limited to the built-in apps. The difference in speed blew me away, Sam says. It truly felt like a new phone. It's not a long-term solution, but if you want to see how much of a difference a factory reset can make, it's worth a reboot to try it out. That's Android safe mode. Thanks for the show. That's from Sam. Gotta tell you, I forgot all about
safe
mode.
So did I. I completely forgot it.
Completely forgot. I was like, safe mode? Isn't that like a Windows thing? Oh, yeah, Android has that too.
Totally.
So, yeah, this absolutely doesn't sound like a long-term solution.
No,
like, we're
not
recommending that you live in safe mode. But yeah, I guess like Sam said, this is a kind of a cool way to see, you know, what would your phone be like if basically nothing else was running. Just make sure that you put shortcuts to the stuff that you do want to try on the phone in safe mode on your home screen, because you won't be able to get to them otherwise. I guess the apps in the launcher don't show up.
I mean, I can't even remember when I made, by the way, this butterfly thing keeps fluttering around next to me. It's distracting. It's crazy. So if you hear this little click, 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 it's this butterfly right here. It's not real, but spoiler. So yeah, I completely forgot about safe mode, and I was like, wait a minute, does that exist? And I vaguely remembered it. So I'll show it off here real quick, just cause. So it's reboot, hold on it. Boom, reboot into safe mode. You reboot right in. And I mean, yeah, everything just flies once you get there because most of your apps aren't loaded and all that.
Right.
So
you can't do much.
No, you really can't. You really can't. But it's interesting, and it's good to know that it's there. There might be reasons where you might want to go into safe mode and oh, yeah, I guess my phone does work. but yeah, interesting to note, I guess. It was just another one of those things. It's like, oh, yeah. Forgot Android does that.
Yeah. Long press on restart. Who knew?
There you go. All right.
We forgot.
Yeah. We knew. And whoops, it left. All right. Let's jump into apps. So a tipster on the Verge forums with a decent track record says he's seen the new YouTube app. And if you like the YouTube app, if this is to be believed, wow, so much speculation today. That should probably be part of the title. It will enable at launch the playback of videos in a small window while the user does other things through the system. Pretty sweet. It'll also allow you to kind of play back your video while you're navigating other videos on the side. So it'll kind of split it off. So that's kind of cool. That'll be a cool addition to the app. And he also says to definitely expect more breakout apps of core functionality, which kind of, you know, also kind of got me thinking more about the whole notifications aspect as well, which we already talked about. But so if the YouTube app is something that you use a lot, the fact that you'll be able to kind of break it out and play videos while you do other things on your device, that could be really handy. We've certainly seen plenty of arenas won, notably by Eileen Rivera when she was on the show, with apps that did just this. So we know people want to be able to do that. So cool that it'll be possibly built into the YouTube app sometime soon.
Yes, you can watch All About Android while you're, you know, answering email, updating your Google Drive, you know, just doing stuff on your phone.
Yeah, while you're trying to be productive, you can fight your productivity by watching us in the corner.
Imagining our sort of floating heads on the it'd be like chat heads, except you can't respond
yes,
to us.
We'll exactly.
just be talking to you.
Video heads or something.
Video heads, exactly. what else we got? Oh, Google Search and Google Now has been updated. Support for more voice actions, integrated offers, and TV show information in the U.S. I love this. I love to see Google Now sort of continue and get more cards and more functionality. So this is on Android 4.1. Plus and Jelly Bean. This is you got a new voice action. So if you this isn't a new voice action, but it has a new functionality. You could say play Michael Jackson, for example. And before it would just start playing, I think, from Google Music, but now you can choose what app you want to play music from. So depending on what music apps you've got installed on your phone. So for me, I had the choice of music from the Play Store, from Pandora, which is really nice. It's sort of like Android Share menu where apps can sort of register themselves as music apps. So you get a little choice there or you know, Spotify, what music app you use to play. If your internet connected TV is on the same network as your Android device, you can see information about shows you're watching on that internet connected TV in Google Now. So you get Google Now cards, information about shows and actors.
Cool.
And Google offers support. So here the advertising comes in. I was sort of waiting for this to happen. Based on your location, you can get Google Now cards, letting you know there's something going on, a sale or a discount that you can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really nice. Some nice Google Now updates. And Android Police, I love these guys. I love these APK teardowns that they do. An APK, the apps are packaged up in APK files, and Android Police pulls apart the APK and looks through the images and the XML files and the source code and tries to figure out, official Google apps and tries to figure out what's coming soon. And it's amazing, actually, how much information that they can sort of glean from the APK teardown. And they're saying Google Search 2.6 indicates that we've got car rental reminders, event and sporting event ticket barcodes, and wallet loyalty card possibly coming soon. This is based solely on string variables and images stored in the APK that they pulled apart. So this makes complete sense, right? Car rental reminders, tickets, and wallet loyalty cards makes a lot of sense.
And taking pictures as a search, still out. Did you ever do that, by the way? Did you ever do that with a chat is you're not
the Google Glass feature where you would take
Glass,
a photo of something.
Google Goggles.
Google Goggles. Thank you. Thank
the
you.
Google Goggles.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Right. And and I would do that all the time for especially with something like maybe without any context. Like I got a really, really cool coaster with a logo on it, and I wanted to know what the brand was, where it had come from, whatever. And it was really neat to use that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it was one of those things. So it was kind of neat to know that you could, but I don't know. I just
it also had that silly animation where it was scanning the thing.
Yeah,
any time that I wanted to impress someone with technology, I'd always be like, "Well, check this out. Let's go ahead and scan your Coke bottle," and it would do the mirror, mirror, and then this looks like Coca-Cola, and you could just sit back and be like, technology is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That just happened right in front of you.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
And they'd be like, okay.
And they'd be like, fine. Okay.
All right. Neat. Cool.
But this has been stripped out, sadly.
Yeah, no, it had been stripped out. And, some people, dedicated users of that function, I guess, are hoping that it ends up back in. Maybe it will someday. It's kind of weird, though, that they would pull it from there because they kind of have that online. That's something that you can do pretty easily with images. Strange that you can't still do that through mobile. I wonder what the reason was for that. But
yeah.
But yeah, it just keeps getting awesomer and awesomer.
Indeed. What else do we have? Oh, this is a CNET story.
Yeah,
this is kind of funny. CNET story. Who wrote this? Oh, it was a Stephen Shanklin. Gripe and you shall receive. Google fixes Gmail for Android. This is a piece that Shanklin wrote for CNET saying that he was really upset that Google took the delete button out of Gmail for Android. And I was kind of confused by this because the delete button is there in my Gmail. But what Google had done, you know, because Google, you know, Gmail or Google has this philosophy around Gmail of archiving over delete, right? They want you to archive. They don't want you to delete necessarily. And what they did was they took the delete button out of the action bar, like took it, it wasn't an icon in the action bar anymore. They put it in what's called the overflow menu, the menu that's the vertical three dot, dot, dots.
Right.
That goes down. So in order to delete an email, you couldn't do it in one tap, right? You had to tap on the overflow menu, extend that, and then tap on delete. And Stephen was very, very upset about this. And I thought this piece, and I'll actually be interested to know what you think about this, Jason. I thought this piece was a little much. They were like, they broke Gmail.
Yeah.
He was talking about them moving a button from the bar to the menu. And look, I'm a developer, and I actually just went through a big overhaul of my own app, and you have to make kind of hard decisions about, you know, what items do you show in the action bar that are one tap, and those are the actions that you feel like are the things that people do the most. And I think in Google's case with Gmail, archiving was a reasonable choice, at least that's when Google wants you to do more than delete, and then you put the rest in the menu. So I guess they change this back up, so delete is back in the menu. They fixed Gmail again.
They both coexist right there and can be easily pressed. Yeah, I mean, I archive. I guess I'm just of the archive ilk. I archive almost everything and always have, at least since I switched to Gmail. It's just been part of, because why not? Like, I have unlimited storage. Well, practically, when you're talking email terms. So that's been my habit. But I can understand. And there was, you know, to be fair, Stephen definitely wasn't the only person that was really upset that delete was gone. There was a lot of people. I guess there was a poll that they did on CNET, just as one example. And, you know, like 80% of the feedback was, bring me my delete button back. It is pretty funny to see what people get really worked up over when it comes to this kind of stuff.
It's true. You know, these are hard decisions to make about. I mean, you kind of want to encourage certain activity, and Google certainly wants you to encourage that you archive. And I could see how some, you know, privacy folks concerned about privacy might be sort of annoyed by that. You know, like, hey, you don't want to necessarily keep this email on your servers forever and ever. I want to be able to delete it, and I want to be able to do it quickly. But, you know, that's not really Gmail's philosophy. And I feel like I've been deep sort of meditation about this. You really kind of have to express your philosophy around the app and the buttons that you show.
Right.
And it's, you have to make hard decisions because there's only so much space. Anyway, so the delete button's back in Gmail. It never really left. It was in the menu, but there's a difference. People get really upset about the difference between two taps and one tap.
Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years and then it was gone and then it came back. So wait a minute, call it a comeback. It's
been there in the overflow menu the whole time.
There you go. You used your voice and you got it back. Yay, win. All right. So before we jump into the arena, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's episode, Manpax. So here's the problem, guys. As a guy, there's always the basic stuff that you always forget to buy. I know I do it. I'm guilty until it's too late, and you don't want that to happen. Finding good products actually takes a lot of time. Underwear, socks, quality face scrub, shaving cream. You need these things every day, but spending time shopping for them is a big pain. Can be, anyways. We're busy people, right? After work, you know, there's sports. There's going out with the guys. There's games, friends, family, football. Who wants to surf the web for socks? Seriously. You don't ever have to shop for manly basics again because there is Manpax to save the day. You can join thousands of men who have already signed up. It's a start it, stop it, change it anytime subscription service for your basic essentials. Really easy to manage your account. They remind you before shipments, so there's no surprises at all. You update your next pack and you say, you know, these are the things that I want to receive. And it just, you know, it arrives every 3 months. You either get, you know, what you've determined for that period of time, or if you've selected in the past and just said every 3 months, send me these things. I always need, you know, new socks and a new V-neck white T-shirt. It will send it to you for you every 3 months and arrive as if it were a gift. It's like giving yourself a gift. Every product is tried and guy approved by Manpacks. No duds, no junk, just pure win. Free shipping, free returns, easy account management. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I received a man pack. I think I'm still waiting for my next one, but I received one a few months ago. And gotta say, I'm rocking the wear. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna go into any more details than that. But it was really cool. It was cool to come home and get the box and to not have to worry about those things because I'm really bad at shopping for them otherwise. So I thought it was great. So there are two exclusive offers for TWIT listeners. You visit manpacks.com/TWIT and you can receive $10 off of your first order or of $30 or more. So you pay for $30 and you receive $10 off of that or more. Or buy a $50 gift card for $40. So either way, you're saving yourself $10. Go to manpacks.com/twit and get started today. For you or the man in your life, we thank Manpacks for their support of All About Android and the TWIT network. Manpacks.com/twit. Thank you. I feel like more of a man. Now, let's jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Let's see here. Last week, I did not think I was going to win this one. How to
you
make paper
ran away with it.
Yeah, no
ran
kidding.
Away with it.
I honestly thought I was kind of,
It's a pretty great app. It's a pretty great app. Like the whole concept is pretty great. It
makes it really easy. I mean, it makes it really easy to just follow the steps and it kind of has this animation. Well, whatever. I talked about it last week. 57% gives how to make paper airplanes first place. I want to clarify something real quick because definitely there was some confusion for people that were downloading that app. If you downloaded the link that I had up initially, and I think the link that was part of the QR code on the episode, it took you to a version of the app that was different than the version that I downloaded. When I downloaded earlier in the week, it was fine. The one that I posted took you to the app and it launched it and it said, this is a deprecated version. You have to download this new version. So you may have got that kind of roadblock. And if so, I apologize. I'm not sure exactly how that happened because that didn't happen for me, but it happened for a lot of you. So I changed the link on the page, so it's possible it didn't affect you. But anyways, How to Make Paper Airplanes has a couple of versions. Make sure you're getting the right one. Buzz Launcher came in second at 22%. Cloudy came in third at 20%. There you go. So that means that, Gina, you are first up this week. I have your...
That was the big L.
Yes.
Should I be first? Okay, all right. I'll go first.
Yeah,
cool.
You go first. I have your game loaded up here. I'll try
awesome,
to keep up.
Awesome. So it's holiday week here in the United States, Independence Day, and movie is opening tomorrow night, which I think it's tomorrow night or maybe Thursday night. Very excited about Despicable Me. And that is my app pick this week. Really, really, really cute game called Despicable Me Minion Rush. And as Jason's showing on screen there, it's just a partner as it loads portrait, but then you can switch into landscape. Runs really well on both. Oh, sorry. Is it just portrait or can you do landscape?
Oh, yeah, it's just portrait. Yep.
Oh, it is just portrait. Sorry, I was dead wrong about that. Woo! Sorry about that. Runs great on tablet and phone. And so in the game, you get to be one of Gru's minions who is competing to be Minion of the Year. So the game, just as you can see Jason's playing right now, you're kind of running through tunnels and you're collecting bananas and you're jumping over obstacles and you're jumping up to collect more bananas and you're swiping from side to side to avoid obstacles and you're ducking to go under obstacles. And it's really fun and it's really simple and it's got a really cool kind of introductory movie that fans of the movie will love. Minions are the cutest. So great game if you're a fan of the movie. You're going to see it this weekend or the next couple weeks. Awesome for kids who also love the movie. And just kind of gives you a little more background into the characters and plot. And yeah, you just collect bananas. It's free. It's free to download and install. Although you can purchase bananas and tokens via in-app purchase. So probably something to keep in mind if the kids are using it on your device. just kind of really fun. I mean, kind of a standard and a racing, running game. Nice job, Jason. You are rocking those bananas.
You know.
Oh, so when you run into an obstacle and you have to revive yourself, it sort of costs bananas in order to do that. So you can revive for 5 bananas, and then you get to go. So like I said, you can buy bananas and tokens for in-app purchase, but otherwise it's free. Oh,
I was doing well because it was like training mode, and now it's in the real game, and I suck.
A lot of fun, addictive.
Yeah,
it'll be fun for the opening of the movie, which I think is this weekend.
It looks great on a tablet on the nice big screen. I'm not very good at this suddenly. I was awesome up until I had to start talking.
It's still fun, like even if you're losing, they're hilarious. Like,
it's still fun, even if you're a loser.
Even
Thanks.
If you're not good at it,
Thanks.
It's pretty fun. I gotta
it is pretty fun.
Say.
Despicable Me is the game. And by the way, I have not seen the movie. I've heard great things, and I keep wanting to show this.
Oh, you
to
haven't
my
seen
daughter.
The first one?
No, I haven't.
The second one's coming out.
Yeah, I've heard great things about the first or the second one too. So, I gotta get on that. Maybe I'll lead up to it with a little of the game. There we go. Despicable Me. It is free. Check it out. All right, Chad, what game do you have today?
Okay, so today I have one of my favorite games that I've played all the time, and it's called Battle Cats, and humor is a huge part of this game. I'm playing it over here on my phone, and I'm already in a game. I've actually been trying to furiously level up before I had to show off the app. The idea is that you make these little cats. That's who I'm fighting there. You spawn cats from your base, and you send them across to the other side to try to kill the other base. You have little hit points up there. And so as fast as you can spawn cats, it's kind of what you're doing. You have a whole bunch of different things. You may have seen earlier I hit this fire button to sort of push everyone back. That'll slowly reload over here. All these cats will now kind of go across the way here and attack the other base. But you know what? I've been playing for a little while, and I've gotten some cat food cans. So I'm going to go ahead and spin those because also I kind of want to show you the other menu. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to activate the God Cat.
No!
It's, meow! That's right. So let's go ahead and use this God power here. Let's go ahead and get help. The baby boom. And so now the God Cat is going to power up, and now I get the baby boom upgrade. Now this is sort of a freemium game, so I'm going to now get a... now I'm down some cat food. Here, let me turn that down a bit. So I'm down some cat food, so if I wanted to spend more money on cat food later, I could. Let's check this out. So as I do this, my cats are going to move across the screen. I was hoping that they'd kill the other base a little faster than they are, but it's going to take a little bit. Oh, yeah, I forget that you can just go kind of crazy with these cats over here. So in the baby boom mode, as long as you have money to spend, you can send your cats over. And you don't have to wait for your energy to build up. There we go. Victory. Wonderful. So now I've gotten some XP from that round, and I can go use it in a couple different ways. Either I can upgrade my cats. Let's go in here. And you have a whole bunch of different things. You either have previous cats. If you get new cats, you can get them here. You can also upgrade your cannon range, how hard your cats work, things like that. There's even special cats over here that you can use your cat food to get if you decide, like Sumo Cat and Ninja Cat. And then you can also find treasure in the game. Right now I've found the best quality spice cod rod, apparently, is the thing that I got in stage 7. And you later on you get a, I haven't done it on this phone, but you get a dictionary, and it tells you what all the other battle cats are and all the other, sort of components to the game are. And they're hilarious. This whole game is just a ridiculous romp through cat battle. The backstory is that these battle cats were made and they're taking over the world. So when you start a map, you're actually in this little world mode, and you decide... Whoa. You know, where you're going to attack next. So if I go all the way to the end, it's stage 10 here, That's where I can battle. You also, unfortunately, every time you do a battle, you lose energy. So you can see negative 14 energy up there. That's if I try to do that battle, and my energy goes down. So I can only play this for so long each day until I need to sort of spend money to continue playing. Or you can just wait, and your energy gradually goes up. If I wanted to, I could buy more energy with cat food. So that is Battle Cats. It is free in the Play Store, so anyone can go and get their Battle Cat on. And just in general, between the music, between the sort of fast-paced and easy way to just jump into a game and get lost, Battle Cats is absolutely hilarious and fun to play. So
you obviously went with the whole cats on the internet cannot lose thing, Chad.
Yeah, well, you know, you do it when you get a chance to be in the arena, you got to bring
it. Step up.
You got to bring every.
You brought it. That was quite a demo, yeah, Chad. You can tell you love that game.
Oh yeah, it's so fun. And I mean, like even just like their little demo thing that they do is hilarious. The whole backstory is sort of explained in here about building cats. You know, to take over the world, and
obviously directed by Michael.
Michael Bay or
Michael Bay.
Michael
yeah,
Bay, yeah. Is there hope? And it's just ridiculous.
Meow,
meow.
Well, that is Battle Cats, and with cats in your game, you couldn't possibly lose, Chad.
No, I hope not. I hope not.
Well then. Let's see if maybe I can make that happen.
Woo! Okay.
I've got a game called Jones on Fire. You are Emma Jones. You save cats from fire.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh. You're totally stealing my thunder.
Oh, but hey,
oh,
there
meow.
Could never be enough cats in the arena.
Meow.
All right, so here we are. It's a, you know, I tend to have a soft spot for the kind of, you know, old school style graphics, but it's got a 3D edge to it. So I'll go ahead and do this. It's your typical side scroller with run and jump. That's pretty much the two things you can do, right?
Oh my god.
You're always running, you pick up cats, and they meow, and you gotta not run into things, okay? I could have slid under there, but I forgot. Okay. There's a fire chasing me, right? So there's the fire.
Oh my gosh.
That's to show you. There's the fire. It's a wildfire. You can only mess up once. Eventually, if I'm still awesome, it'll go away, and
do the cats get burned when you're there?
No, they don't.
Okay,
they don't. They get burned if you get burned. Don't worry.
The little cats are getting roasted in that wildfire.
Don't worry, they're okay.
They're fine.
Okay. They're okay.
Listen,
it's
cats
cool.
Do two things: always land on their feet and don't get burned by fire unless you get burned by fire.
I got fire. I'm sorry, cats. Sorry, cats. It's just kind of a cool kind of look to the game, and it's just, you know, it's. There isn't a whole lot of depth here. For the most part, you just kind of run to the side and pick up cats. And it's cute because they meow when you get them and everything. The levels do get really hard. I just installed this on the tablet, so I'm starting over from square one again. But, you know, they get hard and pretty frantic and everything.
I like the song, the music.
Yeah, it's got a nice old school quality.
Are these random worlds?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that they might actually be because...
I'm not seeing that other thing to slide
under.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the slide under thing yet. But I want to see
keep
it because I want to show.
There it is.
Woo! See? 91 kitties. That's how awesome this is. You can get up to 93 cats or more if you're awesome. So there you go. This is Jones on Fire featuring Emma. And there we go. I'm NC. You can do upgrades and all that kind of stuff. But... no,
I like all the cats jump up and explode in joy.
No golden kitties, but you know, 99. I saved 99 cats. So
look at that cat up there in the corner. That's the kitty up there.
Meow.
cats, you know, they go to the darndest places.
Yeah, I know what cats do. The darndest things.
Cats.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. If you want to save cats from fire instead of putting them to work battling your wars for you,
well, listen,
Chad,
listen. You got to give cats, you know, their due. I mean, sometimes they got to just work the day job and not always be, you know, damsels in distress.
I like to think that these two games play hand in hand. I save the cats and then you train them for battle.
Right, right.
So, okay.
I am so screwed. I mean, the minions are cute, but I don't even know if the minions are cute.
I know. Look at this trailer for Battle Cats. It's cute, okay?
Quit.
Look.
Quit your selling.
Oh, come
your time
on.
Your time is over, Chad.
Okay, okay.
All right. So it's time for you to vote for your favorite game this week. Is it Despicable Me, Battle Cats, or Jones on Fire? Oh, I didn't mention free or 99 cents for Jones on Fire, but there you go. You can vote aaapoll.com/116, aaapoll.com/116, and make your voice be heard. Early reports are in. Battle Cats, Despicable Me, and Jones on Fire are really, you know.
They're actually, yeah, really close.
Battle Cats does seem to be pulling away.
I'm about ready to flip over, yeah.
You just never know where it's gonna end. So there we go. Three games. If you happen to be in the U.S. and you have Thursday off and you have no plans, just download all three of these and play them all day and night. You're welcome. There you go. Next week, we are happy
impress
to welcome back. Yeah, impress your friends and be like, why are you watching those fireworks? Just play this game instead. Aaron Newcomb is joining us once again. He was on, of course, while I was out on paternity leave, which means that I haven't been on a show with him since well before that. So I'm stoked that he's coming back. But he's always just super great on the show. So
we're always
stoked to welcome him on the show. But that's it for this week. Ron, what do you have to plug? Oh, that's right. You're not here.
Well, Ron will be here next week. He'll be here.
He
Send
better
his
be.
Email.
He better be. No, I better read his emails. But no, he's totally a busy man. He's got a lot going on, a lot of really cool stuff with his job, his comic book job. But Gina, what do you have going on? I imagine also lots of cool stuff.
I got a couple of things going on. I feel like I say this every week, but we've had this like really active development sprint on my Android app to do text for Android, to do .txt. And we released version 2.0 just today. It's in the Play Store. So you should check it out. We like completely rethought the action bars and the menus, and it's got this really cool slide out navigation bar. We've got like swipe to complete with this like interactive toast, just like Gmail. It's really, really cool. Like, I feel like the app has finally reached this place where I'm like, yeah, this is a modern Android app. Like, this is the to-do list I kind of wanted it to be for a while. Of course, it is a holiday week here in the U.S. I don't expect you to be completing tasks, but you should check it out if you want to get productive when you come back on Monday. And, of course, I also co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. And me and Leo and Jeff Jarvis will be on tomorrow talking about Google. So yeah, just stop by and listen, watch live and hop in the chat room.
Excellent. This Week in Google. Awesome stuff. I learn so much watching you guys while I'm editing. I think it's Security Now, and half the time I have to stop my edit because you guys are talking about something cool. It takes me so long to edit Security Now because I'm also watching This Week in Google. Chad, what you got
I can always reference all the Androids. Well, as we were saying last night, right. Android.
And every time you do, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Normally, we're just like, hey, Jason, what's that question about glass? Okay, good. Jason says that glass is right. URL. Yeah.
You know, if you want to set up a microphone at my desk.
Pretty much. We need to.
Seriously.
No, don't do that. Chad, what you got going on?
I, on the Twit Network, produce a lot of shows, Twit, Twig, Mac Break Weekly, and I'm on This Week in YouTube and do my own show about Minecraft at twit.tv/omgcraft.
Excellent. I should just say, Ron has been busy. Chad and not our Chad, I don't think, because you're OMG Chad in the chat room. Chad in the chat room points out that The Verge Comics, or sorry, his company is on the front page of The Verge because of DRM free Walking Dead comics and other comics. Yeah. I think they're doing all their comics DRM free. So
yeah,
cool stuff.
Got a show right now. Yeah.
Where is it?
Good
where is
him.
It? Show me.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's
show me where that. Oh, scroll up, right side.
There you go. This one.
There you go. Walking Dead publisher opens DRM free store for digital comics. That's Ron's company.
Did he get quoted?
Fight a good fight.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
He's always working on pretty cool stuff.
I wish we could get in the news.
I wish that we could have him on the show.
We were news. Oh.
We should get that guy on the show. He seems
totally.
Like he really knows what he's doing.
Totally. I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about all that stuff next week. As for me, you can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. I'm on Twitter at Jason Howell, Yellow Gold Music, JasonHowell.net. Wherever else. I'm also on Google Plus. That's actually where I do most of my stuff these days, it seems like. But that is it for this week. Thank you once again for joining us. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, or send us an old-fashioned email at aaa@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. The show is on Twitter at Android Show. We're also on Google Plus, as well as a Hoppin community there. Look for that. You can find show notes. Every single link that we talk about on the show is posted to twit.tv/AAA. Look for today's episode there and you'll see them. You can also find our past episodes there, iTunes, YouTube. We're all over the place. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Butterflies.